Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And last time we got together, it was mighty. We saw Jonathan the warrior, and we've been rejoicing in that wonderful warrior's heart of Jonathan. But last time we got together, it was sweet. We kind of got to see the other side in the type of the bride. She's a fighter, but she's a lover. And I thank God that we can see this wonderful type, shadow, metaphor, however God would have you to receive it, through Jonathan, as he sat there and he listened to all the words of David, as David stood before Saul there. And I love that. He's standing there with Goliath's head in his hand. But after he had gone through all his speaking, it said Jonathan's soul fell in love. And he fell in love with the soul of David. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're after. We're after falling in love with the soul of the King. He is the lover of our soul, isn't he? Isn't that wonderful? But we want to love him. And we're going to get into how intimate that is here tonight. But David, as he finishes speaking, Jonathan's heart is knit together with him, just as us, brothers and sisters. And the only way that happens truly is to hear the whole counsel of God. That's why Paul said, I have not withheld a thing. Without hearing Paul's gospel, there's no way to fall in love with Jesus Christ. It won't happen. And without the continuing of hearing Paul's gospel, because as the word through Paul's gospel tells us, to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And we've spoken of this in many different types and analogies of things, but, you know, it would be as silly to say, okay, well, I showed up to get married, and we're married, and I'll see you in a month or two. You know, somebody would say, well, what's up with that? No, and that's when you really join, you see. So when you hear the marriage proposal of the Lamb, you go to him then, and then you draw nigh and more nigh and more nigh. That intimate dwelling is tremendous. That's why the word of the Lord tells us that the wife hath made herself ready. She's already in that state of matrimony with him. That proposal was accepted, as we've been rejoicing, even in the type of the ancient Jewish wedding. When that announcement went out for the young man that he was to have a wife, those women in that village would all sit there and think, well, do I want him? Do I want him? Well, there would be one that would come forth and say, I want him. Gives me chills just saying that. I want him. And at that time, that marriage contract was signed. It was consummated. I should say it was signed. And then at that time, the husband would go away and get that house ready and build that house where they were to dwell. And then in that custom, which was so funny, he would always come with his friends. And he would come at the hour she wouldn't be thinking that he would come, usually in the middle of the night. And here he would take her. And oftentimes, as it was told, those women would sleep with their clothes on, ready to go. They wouldn't take time, as the Shulamite learned, you don't take time to get ready, you be ready. You don't have time to get ready while he's at the door. When he's there, be there. Praise God. It's mighty, isn't it? You can't deny it. It's all over the place. Now, you think about this setting too, and I thought how precious the Lord is to us. Jonathan wasn't the only one hearing the words of David, but Jonathan was the only one that heard all the words, and his heart or his soul was knit together with David's. A lot of people hear this message. But do they listen? Do they listen to the end of the words? And that end means, do you listen to it all your life? Is it your life? Is he the love of my life? Oh, yes, he is. And by the grace of God, he is. But I thank God for that move that Jonathan had. He wasn't ashamed. He fell in love. As we mentioned, you're talking about a man maybe 45 years old. And here was a boy, 12 years old, holding the head of a giant, speaking words. Words, not actions, not the way he looked, not his pedigree, but the words. And Jonathan, it struck him in the heart, and that love came out. All I could think of is many daughters have done virtuously as Jonathan took that, but thou excellest them all. The heart of the king loved her more than all of the other women. Let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Now, there's a great metaphor in that to the Spirit for us. Saul took David in that day into his house and let him go out no more. And you think of our resurrected Savior. He was raised and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's not going out until the Father commands him to go get her. And I love that. See, Jesus is waiting in the house of the Father, not going out until the Father says, call out for her. That's the trump, you know. That's his voice. He's calling out soon. Come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. But, brothers and sisters, all the falling in love with him to win that bridegroom is being accomplished right now while he's away. And while he, praise God, is at the right hand of the Father, all of that falling in love happens at the throne of grace. All that falling love comes by hearing all the word of God. And I thank the Lord. See, that's where Jonathan heard it. He heard it in that throne room. Now, it was then and there, after hearing the word, we come to verse 3. And in verse 3 it says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And because Jonathan loved him as his own soul. They made a covenant, brothers and sisters. See, it had to be hearing all the words of the king that caused Jonathan to fall in love with the one who would be king, and who I'm speaking of here is David. And it gives us that encouragement of us falling in love with Jesus. And it says, and Jonathan and David made a covenant. Now, think of this. It was because Jonathan, he loved that soul. He heard that those words. And see, it was the love of Jonathan that the covenant, praise God, came to be with him. And what I mean by this, brothers and sisters, is you'll notice it says it was Jonathan that loved after hearing the words. See, the Lord is already in love with our soul. He's the lover of our soul. That love is already there. All he's waiting for is us to hear his words, to have our heart and our soul knit together with his. You see? And once that happens, that covenant, praise God, will be made between David and Jonathan, as well as between our bridegroom and, by the grace of God, his bride. It is. It's a precious encouragement here, brothers and sisters. It was the words. It was the words that were spoken. It was just like Rebecca. See, after hearing the words of the master's servant at the well, she said, I will go. And then those words, praise God, as it said in Daniel, the Lord said, I have come for thy words. He hears us. He hears us speak those things. It was just like Jonathan. His soul, he fell in love with the soul of David. When we fall in love with the Lord, that love is already there for us. And that precious bridal message will be knit together in us and in him as that oneness that he speaks of there, even in Ephesians. But those words, praise God, we speak those words, and what happens is, it's not any covenant, it's a love covenant. It's a love covenant, it's a marriage covenant. Did you know that? That marriage is also considered a covenant? And it's not a covenant because of works or religious ceremony, but it's a covenant of love. It's a covenant of falling in love. It's not, again, a covenant because of what things look like. It's a covenant of the soul. The bride and the bridegroom covenant is a love covenant. We accept the king's proposal from his words, and we fall in love. It's a very precious thing. I am grateful to God, and we'll see this soul and how beautiful it is. See, falling in love, not with appearance, not with the acts, not even with the heart, but with the soul, the ways of the Word of God. That's the love of God. See, that was the difference with Moses. He knew the ways of God. He knew that wonderful encouragement of the love that's spoken of in, if you will, the soul. Now, I want to note this. See, we do not see Jesus physically, do we? But we know him. We know his heart. And we know his soul. I see the same type with Jonathan and David. How could this man fall in love with the words from a 12-year-old boy? It had to be the words. Amen. It couldn't have been the stature of this young child. It couldn't have been anything else about, except as it says in this scripture, it's the words that he fell in love with. Not a body, but praise God, the words. And our Savior, brothers and sisters, he became one of us. Now think of this. He became one of us. Not only a body, hallelujah, not only be made one of us, but he was even made, it's so wonderful. It speaks of his soul. And I want us to go over to Matthew 26, 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I just still cannot get over that. A very God became a man. Came one of us. And praise God, a soul. A soul to love. He had to be made a man to die, yes. But he had to be made a man to have a wife. The Lamb's wife. I've always been encouraged that it's not God's wife. It's the Lamb's wife. And I see that in such a precious way. See, Jesus Christ is the lover of my soul. And I don't love him because he's so omnipotent, because he's so great, because he's so infinite that he could speak everything into existence and that he can control everything and all the power is him. I love him because of his heart, his soul. It's the most beautiful soul I've ever known. It's called the soul full of truth, grace and truth. It's the love that loves me all the time. It's the love that sees past everything that's wrong with me. Everything that I wish was different, he finds lovely. Isn't that amazing? And I have fallen in love with his soul. I appreciate that he's all powerful. What a benefit for my love. That he holds the winds in his fists. That he's the one that speaks and the sea is calm. But I love his soul. And he first loved my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's hard to explain this intimacy. You can hear it is. How do you describe it? Well, only the Word of God through the Spirit can tell it to you. But this is so of God. This is so of heaven. This is why it's so despicable when people try to make this between Jonathan and David some type of a human thing. It wasn't a human thing. This was a spirit thing. This is the spiritual love. This is the love of saints. This is the love, praise God to us, of the love between a bride and a bridegroom. So, here is the evidence then of the love covenant that comes forth. That happens only after we fall in love with his words. And that's here in verse 4. It says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Now, this stripping of the garments, as we begin here, Isn't it wonderful when he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? When you really see how beautiful he is and lovely and all-powerful he is, you're ravished. And that's even a type of this too. It's almost just, you know, renting the garments because you're so ravished in a way. But this represents full submission. This is really saying, Lord, what's mine, praise God, is yours. You gave it to me anyways. But he took off, if you will, Jonathan took off his royal clothes and acknowledges to David, even at that moment, you're my king. It's so amazing to me. See, Jonathan did not know physically that David was anointed some time ago by Samuel that he was going to be king. But through them words, he knew that was God's choice. That was God's man. That was it. And it was wonderful how that submission came in immediately. See, you don't figure out things. You hear the word of God by the grace of God. Be quick to believe it. Amen. Be quick to believe it. Bow, bend that knee, get down. Thank you, Lord. You said it, I receive it. It's so, I believe it. And praise God, you'll perform it. You don't have time to think about it. That's why it's faith like a child. That's why the word of God is so wonderful. It's not to be dumb. It's to be, I'll tell you what, wise as serpents. Praise God. And that's it. Harmless as doves. But believe the word of God. Be quick to believe it. He tells you something. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Let God. It's wonderful. That's why he said, I told you that earlier. Let there be glory in the church. Isn't that wonderful? See, if he was just saying there'd be glory in the church. No, let there be glory in the church. See, there's a part of the church that's glory. There's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's called a rib portion. It's wonderful. It's like a special little part in there. And it didn't say work for the glory, did it? It didn't say, well, let's try to be glorious. Didn't say, well, we got to work on this. And I hear that so much. It's so sad to me. And brothers and sisters, know this, bridal saints, Philadelphia ones, by the grace of God, that there is nothing. You do not clip that pinky fingernail one bit to win Christ. It's by grace alone. People that have heard the word of God and bridal truth for so many years. But yet that final last few strides, let me tell you something, those final last few strides, if there was any grace you need grace for those last few strides. It's not, well, you know, it's the ones that will serve like a servant, or, you know, the ones that really shine are the ones that, you know, really set themselves apart in being such a spectacular person of valor and valiant. Why would we do that? I want to magnify him. I want to magnify that grace. And I know it'll change me from glory to glory like him. I get that. But let's magnify his grace. Don't miss it. As Brother Paul said, I don't want to be found in any bit, one little iota of mine own righteousness. He defined that earlier on. That's filthy rags. Because if you are, you'll miss it. I only want to be found in that beautiful righteousness of God. Amen? Isn't it beautiful? And he's made us that for him. Isn't that wonderful? So we grow up into that. Amen? We just grow up into that. We actually grow up into righteousness. That's why it's that exalted rank of righteousness. Well, if he made your righteousness by his grace and by his blood, how do you think you grow up into that righteousness? More grace. And grace for grace and more grace. How wonderful. Continue to praise him for his grace. Thank you, Lord. So, this is just so wonderful here. But see, this taken of these garments, there's nothing withheld. This is a searching and proving that the Father is doing right now. He's seeking those true worshipers that worship his Son in spirit and in truth. See, this is where you just get down at his feet. Oh, I just love you, Jesus. I don't want to be anywhere else. You're everything. I just want to magnify you. I want to exalt Christ. I can't but speak the things which I have seen and heard. You just get delirious in that love. That was David here for the Lord. But see, he's going to have those true worshipers for his sons. And those are the true lovers of his son, the lovers of the soul. And this is wonderful. Do you recall, you think about this, brothers and sisters, this submitting. Remember that rich young ruler? He said, well, you know, I want to go to heaven. And, you know, how do I get there? Well, you know, because I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. Yeah, and the Lord, he knows where to go right away with anybody. Oh, yeah, and by the way, just give away everything you have. What? Huh? Well, I can't. He just wants you to love him. Quit thinking. Just love him. Everything else comes from that. See, he's first. It's first love. Doesn't talk about second love in the Bible, does it? Or third or fourth or fifth. People try to categorize that. I've heard brothers tell me, oh, you know, brother, you know, it's the Lord, and then your family, then your ministry, or whatever that order is. And there ain't no order. It's just God's the order. He's first. Everything else flows. I'll be exactly where I need to be. Exactly where I need to be. As I love the Lord. Amen. Time, place, exactly. Because he's getting me ready to meet him in the air. And I believe him for that, see. Now, it's just like the daughters of Jerusalem. They tease that Shulamite. You love him too much. You should have other loves. But no, this Jonathan wasn't going to go that way. He was submitting all. It's just, that's it. I want that truth. And I appreciate it, brothers and sisters, because that testimony is in your lives. And it's all because of the grace of God that's with you. And it's all to your benefit, you know that. But it's all to his glory, because that grace is building in you. Because we've made choices, we've made sacrifices by the grace of God. And that's what the word of the Lord does in us. As we go on with God, God will separate us. You know, separate us from loved ones. He'll separate us from things that were dear to our life that we cherish. Because we are going to suffer together with him. But notice all those things. That love does it. His truth does it. I don't do that. But he does that. And you realize what he's doing. But yet, it can be painful. Don't get me wrong. But yet, it's joyful. Because you know, they're in any other place I want to be. You know that Rebecca getting on that camel, she was excited and all of that, but you know, it hurt. It's not easy to leave family and say, hey, I'm gone. You know, I'm going to my lover, you know. And, you know, I thank the Lord, and we can tell people, you know, you can come too, but I've got to go. And that's how it's going to be, so we're going to go. Now, you go on with this, but see, ones like Jonathan... I thank God it's all his. It's all his. I'm not going to withhold anything. My life is his. And I like my life being Jesus's. Don't you? I like him having my life. He told me he has it anyways, didn't he? He said, your life's not your own. It's mine. You accepted that blood. Praise God. And I want to enjoy that. I want to rest in that. I want that peace that passes all understanding just carrying me all the way through. There are going to be hurts. There's going to be knocks and all of this. But as I was telling sweet brother Joe, but Jesus makes it okay. It's okay. Yeah, it is. Amen. Praise God. And boy, we're going to have a okay glory party here soon. Praise his name. All right. Now, but it doesn't end there. See, many Christians... and I'm talking about ones, you know, you have to begin to receive bridal truth to fall in love. Amen? We know that. So we receive that bridal truth and we begin to fall in love. But see, it doesn't end, it's yours. To understand this first part about what we possess, we possess nothing, he has everything. But the second part, few go through the halfway house. They really want, there's few that really live filled with all the fullness of the grace and mercy of the Lord. Notice here the words. Jonathan in verse 4 stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now we're getting to even to. Yes, even to. All right. Now what does even to mean? It means the much, the more. It's a much the more. We're in the time of the much the more. Much the more, the sword, the bow, and the girdle. So let's talk about the sword first. This means that his strength was completely given over. Complete surrender there. Brothers and sisters, we can know the message of the glory of his grace, but going on to even more is submitting to it. Letting grace and grace alone have its perfect work in your life. When grace truly is magnified as your all-sufficiency. Amen? That's powerful. That's powerful when we truly let the grace of God be the magnificence of our life. And I'm talking about when the perfect work is in our weakness. The perfect work that brings complete humility. The very lowliness, if you will, of Jesus Christ in our life. And my goodness, we've just started here. You have to realize Jonathan was a warrior of warriors. And he was giving up his sword. Let me tell you, that's unheard of. The warrior giving up his sword. All my strength. There's nothing of myself. I am completely helpless. But for your grace, I cannot merit a thing. And praise be to God. That's the way it is. If we will win Christ, it's by grace alone. Isn't this wonderful? And it's just right there. It's just like on a platter, like God does. Amen. And here's your you know, it's not just a steak. The Lord knows I like ribeye, so here you go, son. You know, but so many in truth they only go so far. And I'm talking about even seeing bridal truth. Somehow, again, that final push to the finish, as I mentioned, is somehow I got to get my hand back in there. I've got to be this good servant. Let me tell you something. You are not born a servant. You're born a king. And you need to realize that. I want to live up to everything that blood did for me. Got it? It bothers a lot of people that want to still be self-righteous, that want to be childish. I'm proud of the gospel of Christ. I am, and I thank the Lord for the work of the gospel of Christ in me. I am glory for him. I'm glory for him. That's what he wants. He wants that praise and that glory. And I know it's all because of his grace and mercy, but I thank him for that grace and that mercy. Because I am glory for him. Amen. Now, that's why, praise God, we can even pray, if we will, for more weakness. That the power of Christ will rest upon us again. That causes us to fall more and more and more in love with him. Now, let's get to the next one. It said, even to the sword, and now even to his bow. Now, this is something very special, because if you'll go over to 1 Samuel 1:22, you don't need to go there, but just note this, and we'll get there. David, when he's lamenting for Jonathan's passing, speaks of this bow of Jonathan. This bow truly represents Jonathan's prized possession. This defined Jonathan. There is also, we'll get to here, if the Lord tarry, when Jonathan goes to David when he's in the hiding place and he meets him in the wilderness. And there's a way that David will know if King Saul is going to be favorable to him or going to kill him. And the way that he tells them that is he's going to shoot an arrow through his bow. Because he was such a wonderful artsman with that bow, and he could do things with it. It really defined him. It made him special, if you will. It was, as people would say, oh, it's my gift. Which can become, unfortunately, it can become an idol, can it? But not to the like of Jonathan. What defines me? It's yours, Lord. I thank Jesus. I thought music defined me at one time. Nope. Thought maybe a business did. Matter of fact, a very sweet Christian man that helped me in my business. He said, oh, you'll never let that go. That's your baby. And I remember that was about a few years before the Lord called me into pastoring. And as he said those words, I thought, thank you, Jesus. This brother doesn't know Christ in me. And I'm just telling you, that was just the Lord. And I thank God. And, you know, I'm a pretty thoughtful person, oftentimes too thoughtful. Got to shut it off. But as the Lord changed different times of my life, when he'd bring in a new chapter, I can honestly tell you, I wasn't thinking. And it made it easy. And God had to do that. But he did it. And I just walked in it. I told you there was a time that I was over there in Europe. Everything was going great. I had it. I had the contract of contract to sing opera. Bob knows where I was. Everything that I had worked for, there it was. God in one moment spoke to my heart as I was walking around a lake in Hamburg, Germany. And he said, this isn't for you. I could hear it. He didn't tell me what was for me, but I knew it was him. And I knew right then. I said, Polly, we're going home. And that was it. Same absolute sovereign God met me when I was down in right there at South Mexico next to Central America. Got that email. Brother Hawkins had come out, talked to the board, and they'd prayed and believed that the Lord had called me to be a pastor. Bike ride for about 3 miles from that little old rickety place back to where I was staying. Pretty numb. Still didn't really understand. Walked into that place. My wife drew me in. I told you we're the only people there for a whole week. There wasn't anybody around us on the secluded beach. But God sent, I don't know, 8 or 10 of his angels. And that man laid his hands on me right there at that moment, prayed over me. And all those people were speaking in the spirit. And I knew the Lord anointed me to be your pastor at that moment. I'm living this. Amen. But what I'm getting at is, he defines us. That's it. And what did that was his words. Nothing else. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It was his words, wasn't it? Over and over, as you rebelled against it, struggled with it, wrestled with it, said, this isn't for me. Tried to get away from it. But he said, I come for your words. You're mine. You're mine. So he lays that bow down. And oh my, the prized possession. Nothing between, nothing held back. Jonathan gave it all to David after hearing those words. Just like, again, Rebecca. It didn't take very long, did it? See, the Lord's not going to plead with you. This is a proposal. This is spoken sweetly, softly, sweetly. Amazing. Will you go? And praise God, we've gone. Now, the final one of this is truly the final one. When you're completely severed from truly any reality of this life, is when you hand over the girdle. Now, everything was held by that girdle, meaning the sword, and that would kind of keep all the pieces together. But as you go on and you really read on in the Word of God, you realize that that girdle was the place of the loins. It was the fruitful part. This is the deepest submission that will ever go with God, with our Lord and Savior. This is the knowing between a husband and a wife. Praise God. You talk about nothing withheld. You talk about a place where you're just so thankful for your husband. That your confidence is in your husband. That your joy is in your husband. That you love his name. You've heard me say that about my mother as my dad had passed. And I remember coming in and sitting, she was sitting at the table, and I just saw her staring at that little letterhead and rubbing her hand across my dad's name, Mr. and Mrs. John Odorcio. I said, Mama, what you doing? Oh, I love that name. I love his name. I love his name. Now, we endure, don't we, with joy. We wait with patience, and we endure the husbandman as he prunes the vine for more fruit. The pruning, brothers and sisters, comes through Paul's Gospels, doesn't it? His Gospel. And it affects our lives. It takes us out of everything and all the cares of this life. And it draws us on in that first love by the Spirit to our awaiting bridegroom's arms. And once again, to put this in perspective as we close tonight, think of this Jonathan. He's the king's son. He's dressed in the king's son's clothes. But in such humility and ravished heart, he submits it all to a shepherd boy. Aren't you thankful you saw the beauty of the worm on the cross? As they mocked him, they didn't know who he was. Just like a lot of them didn't know who that shepherd boy was, but that was just a drop in the ocean of what we're talking about. But what a type it is to us. Amen. And here was the one that would be king. Oh no, I don't want that. That's not mine. I need to bow down. And only love can strip us of all our identity. Isn't that something? Anything that defined us is gone when we truly fall in love with the king. We've heard through the years the story of the prince who had the palace and all, but he fell in love with a little peasant girl and he gave up the throne for her. This is that kind of love, brothers and sisters. It gives up possession, heritage, strength. I'm yours. As the Shulamite said, I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. And his desire is mine. It's toward me. Amen. We'll stop there tonight. It only gets more precious, doesn't it? And if we'll hear what the Spirit says to the churches, it only gets better. And it's sweet to be with you, and I thank God for you, honeys. I can't even tell you the joy that I have that increases all the time with every remembrance of you. And that's not to flatter you. It's just to tell you the truth of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not many want this, and I treasure it. Treasure one another. Treasure Christ in one another. Just allow the cold cups of water to continue to pour forth. I commend you for your faith and love. It's wonderful. And let God just cause it to be more and more to one another. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.